What's the easiest choice you can make? Window instead of middle seat? Picking a vendor who sends a great gift basket? Outsourcing business tasks you hate? What about selling with Shopify? Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did-we-just-hit-a-million-orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell. Wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/try. Go to shopify.com/try now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/try.
Get ready to take notes, because school is now in session. Tackling the biggest issues in education, this is Education America. Save the classroom, save the country. Here are your hosts, Headmaster Rebecca Hagstrom and co-host Mark Durkin.
Well, good evening, and thank you for joining us here on Education Nation. I am your headmaster and host, Rebecca Hagstrom, and it's a privilege to join you every Saturday evening here on AM 1280 The Patriot. I'm joined in studio once again by the producer of Education Nation and my co-host, Mark Durkin.
Another good evening to you, Rebecca.
Yes, it's always great to see you.
You as well. I think we had, what, 5 days of fall?
I know. It seems like
lots
it didn't last very
week.
Long.
I More know. Coming tomorrow, they say, like 3 to 6 inches.
Believe it or not, we had an event for Liberty on a Sunday just 2 weeks ago.
Sure.
And I was wearing summer clothes.
Oh,
it
yeah.
was outside.
It's in the
it
80s,
was like,
I think.
Yeah, it was like 75, 80 degrees. It was beautiful.
Yep.
And then a week and a half later, we get hit.
It changes on a dime in Minnesota,
yes, it
right?
Does. Yes, yeah. it does. Well, over the last decade, schools in Minnesota and across America have welcomed a transformation, and the growing changes in education philosophy are not sitting well with an increasing number of students, parents, and teachers.
That's right, Rebecca. The goals of these philosophies are uniform: to close the achievement gap between black and white students. But in order to close the gap, schools are embracing the notion that structures within our nation's schools and in all areas of American society are so entrenched with racism and white supremacy. Yes, racism bears an ugly stain in our nation's history.
Mm-hmm,
yes,
absolutely.
Racism definitely exists today. Mm-hmm. But does the practice of smearing an entire group of people collectively compensate for that racism? Our guest tonight says that blaming poor behavior in schools and low test scores solely on white teachers is simply wrong. Over the next couple of shows, we will discuss the presence of critical race theory and its effect on K through 12 schools.
Right. Well, joining us in studio tonight to discuss the controversial critical race theory and its impact on our kids' schools is Aaron Benner. Aaron has been a Minnesota educator for more than 20 years. He worked as an elementary school teacher in the St. Paul Public School District. And while teaching in the district, Aaron bemoaned the growing tide of low test scores. On more than one occasion, Aaron also addressed the district's school board, communicating his concerns with student behavior. He was also a member of the St. Paul Federation of Teachers for 15 years. He is now a ninth grade dean of students and activities director at Creighton-Durham Hall High School. Aaron, thank you so much for joining us again on Education Nation. This is your second stint with us.
Yes, thank you, Rebecca, and thank you, Mark, for having me.
Yeah, it's always yeah. a pleasure.
I do want to say that I'm currently the 11th grade dean of students.
That's what I thought.
Oh.
Well, as I was reading that introduction, I thought it was 11th grade, but I trusted Mark to...
I think I missed something. I apologize.
No problem. Yeah, no problem.
No problem at all. I should have just gone with my gut rather than reading his bio
don't
in
trust
front of me.
Yeah.
Right. Well, we had some great shows. Was it 2 years ago that we had you on, Aaron, or was it a year ago?
I think it was last year.
It was last year.
Just a year ago.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah,
and I would really, really encourage our listeners to go back and listen to those shows. You can go to ednationmn.org and you can scroll back and look for the show that has Aaron Benner in the title. I believe we did 2 shows with you that time,
that
too.
That is correct.
Talking about the behavior issues in the St. Paul
exactly.
Public School District.
Exactly. And you will be appalled at what he saw and what he experienced. And really, it sets the framework for what we're going to be talking about today. So I would encourage our listeners to go back and listen to that. Well, critical race theory has been at the center of much controversy, garnering the attention of even President Trump in September. Share with our listeners an overview of what critical race theory framework is and contrast that with the ideals on which our great nation was founded.
Yes, so I came across critical race theory by accident. I was complaining to the St. Paul School Board about Pacific Educational Group being a consultant and trying to help close the achievement gap in St. Paul. During my research, I found out that the Pacific Educational Group used all of its theories on critical race theory. And critical race theory started in the late 1980s with a man named Derrick Bell. It's all over our nation now.
Yeah.
But the history of it is kind of interesting. CRT, as I call it, recognizes that racism is so ingrained in the fabric and system of the American society. The individual racist need not to exist to note that institutional racism is pervasive in the dominant culture. This is the analytical lens that CRT uses in examining existing power structures. CRT identifies that these power structures are based on white privilege and white supremacy, which perpetuates the marginalization of people of color. Now, I was reading that straight from Wikipedia for your listeners. However, that's basically what it is. It's telling people that racism is so ingrained in every aspect of America that there's hardly anything Black Americans can do. And for me, as a Black man, I've dealt with racism my whole life. And I look at my ancestors and how they struggled. I have a problem with critical race theory because it's basically saying there's no hope for you.
Right.
If you're a Black student, your school teacher is basically white. She does he or she doesn't like you. The school system is created just for you to fail. And I find that hard to believe. So if you plant that seed into students, why should they try? Because they've been told that this is not going to work for you.
Right. And you were a teacher in the St. Paul Public Schools for a long time, an elementary school teacher. You worked with a lot of white teachers.
That is correct. And they were fabulous.
Yeah. And yes. And as a Black man, did you see any evidence at all that this theory had any basis in truth at all?
No, but I do want your listeners to do understand is that I did come across a few racist teachers out of 15 years. I definitely don't want to come across like there's no racism.
Right.
And those teachers were dealt with accordingly.
Oh, good. Good.
But as a Black man and as a teacher, I just thought we were setting our children up to fail. With the critical race theory. If it was always an excuse, and the excuse was these test scores are low because white teachers and their privilege don't understand Black students.
Oh, okay.
And I was like, wow, where is this coming from?
Right.
I've never heard of the term white privilege before. That was being thrown around all the time, white privilege and equity. So I did my research, and sure enough, I'm like, oh, this is coming from a theory that I've never heard of before.
And this was 5 years ago.
Exactly 5 years ago.
Wow. Yeah. And like you say, look at how prevalent it is today.
Yes.
I mean, it's everywhere.
It's everywhere. And what's interesting is that it's so embedded in our schools. It's so embedded into some of our social protests. People don't realize that critical race theory has always wanted to dismantle the police. Long before we had the innocent killings of some of our unarmed Black men. I truly believe that these incidents, critical race theorists actually are happy they happen. It helps perpetuate their theory, which is really sad. Now, do I believe there should be some reform in the police department or some criminal justice reform? I definitely do. But to use a horrific incident to push your agenda is not fair.
You know, I don't mind. I hope you don't mind me going off on this side tangent here briefly, Mark. You and I had lunch or breakfast, last summer, and we were talking about this very issue.
Yes.
It was probably, 2 months after George Floyd or something like that.
Yes.
And I remember you telling me about critical race theory because I only had heard of it. I really knew nothing of it. And you really compared it to Marxism.
Yes, I did.
Can you briefly describe that for our listeners?
Well, it's interesting because what's going on in our country right now, it's pure chaos. And I truly believe that critical race theorists have wanted this because this pushes their agenda. So if you're always saying that racism is in every fabric of our society and the critical race theorists are saying we must disrupt every structure that has racism, and they say every structure, our government, our schools, our law enforcement, so we must disrupt them by any means necessary. So that's chaos. That's that's a recipe for chaos.
Yeah, it is. It is for anarchy and chaos.
Exactly.
That's really I hadn't thought about it that way, that if it's true, if they believe that there's truly racism in everything and that's at the core of every problem, you really do almost, it's almost revolution.
Yes.
Like they're trying to almost start a cultural revolution. Mm-hmm. Just like what you wonder, are they trying to go where they went in Cuba? Are they trying to go where they went in China and Russia? Is this their end game?
I don't know. And I think many people who are protesting, you have a right to protest, but understand, does the person you're protesting with understand what you're thinking? Because people aren't saying, I'm protesting because I like critical race theory.
Mm-hmm.
It's all neatly packaged as something that looks like it's right.
Yeah, that sounds right.
It sounds right. Now, is there racism and should we dismantle it? Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Talk about it. But are we trying to get rid of all our schools and get rid of our police?
Right.
Are we trying to dismantle our whole society?
Right.
Because there are some people in critical race theory who want that.
Mm-hmm. And that's what's really driving the protests that become very violent, is what you would say.
In critical race theory, they do not the theorists do not agree with Dr. King's message. There's no secret. I know that's one of the questions. There's no secret at all where critical race theorists stand with Dr. King.
Mm-hmm.
They believe the colorblind society that's ridiculous. They want to be in your face with any microaggressions or racism. Dr. King was all about peaceful protests.
Mm-hmm.
Critical race theorists, they believe that time has come and gone and we didn't get the results we wanted, so this is the way we're going to do it.
Hmm.
I disagree with that. There are many people who agree with that format, but that's not just for me.
Right, right. Oh, my goodness.
I think what needs to be taken into consideration, too, who are these people that are speaking, behind, their organizations or the theory itself? Why are they speaking for a whole group of people and not allowing people to speak for themselves?
That's a great question. Mm-hmm. Very great question.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Well, we just touched a little bit on Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. and his I Have a Dream speech. And, his approach was definitely individualistic, about the fact that people on an individual basis would not be judged by the color of their skin, but by the content of their character. You mentioned that these are polar opposites approaches. I mean, but is there any room for Dr. King's approach when it comes to racial equality in light of what's being promoted by this CRT?
Mm-hmm.
Interesting you mentioned Dr. King's speech. I actually used part of that speech when I addressed the St. Paul School Board. Because where we are right now, Dr. King is a distant memory.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
His legacy and the way he approached things is almost laughed upon with critical race theorists. Mm-hmm. I do not think there's any room for Dr. King's approach with critical race theorists, which breaks my heart.
Yeah, I mean,
really breaks my heart. It's what is interesting, during my lawsuit with the St. Paul Public Schools that was settled a year ago, former Superintendent Valeria Silva was deposed for my case. And my lawyer asked her about Dr. King and how would he feel about Pacific Educational Group and critical race theory. And in her response, as arrogant as she always is, she's like, "We don't care about Dr. King."
Oh.
Came out and just said it.
Wow. Publicly.
And I want the listeners to understand that I had a settlement with St. Paul Public Schools, and I didn't have to sign a non-disclosure so I can talk all about this case.
Mm-hmm,
but
mm-hmm.
Can you believe the arrogance? We don't care about Dr. King anymore.
Think about all he went through. All that he brought. The civil rights legislation wouldn't be here without Dr. King.
Now, Silva didn't mention critical race theory, but her answer is coming from critical race theory.
Mm-hmm.
Totally. So that's interesting.
Just to clarify for our listeners, Silva was the superintendent of the St. Paul Public Schools back when you were a teacher.
That's correct.
And seeing the problems with this Pacific Education Group, which is based on critical race theory. You were seeing the damaging effects. You went to the board, and the board basically turned on you and shut you down. And that's why you had to bring the lawsuit, because they fired you.
They didn't fire me.
I
resigned.
Okay.
And I want your listeners to also know that who got fired was Valeria Silva.
Yeah, she did, eventually.
June of 2016.
So it's good. And they're not using PEG anymore, or are they?
I hear they're still using PEG. They may not be using PEG, but they're still using critical race theory.
They are.
And the St. Paul Federation of Educators is still using critical race theory. Mm-hmm. It's the new thing. It's the new toy. Mm-hmm. And it's not going away.
Yeah. Well, and here's the thing. They're so desperate to close that achievement gap. And rather than actually use methods that work, like classical education, we know classical education works with students of all backgrounds. Liberty is one example. Hope Academy in Minneapolis is an example. Rather than do that or provide school choice so that these inner city kids could go to schools where they can be successful, they would rather just blame it on whiteness.
One of my solutions, and I used to say this sarcastically, but now I'm serious. I would say we're always worried about white teachers and their privilege. Let's go back to segregation.
Yeah.
I used to say that sarcastically. Now I'm serious.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Because you cannot paint all the female white teachers in America as having their privilege and not understanding a student of color. I work with too many people who care about their students.
Yeah.
We all have biases.
Right. Yep.
You know, and that's never talked about in critical race theory. Mm-hmm. People of color have biases. Mm-hmm. But if we're not going to fire 80% of our population because they're white, mm-hmm. and we don't have a plethora of applicants who are color, who are of color, who want to be teachers.
Right.
So if we're so worried about white teachers, then let's go back to segregation. Black kids be taught by black teachers and so forth. But we don't want to do that. But if we keep on talking about
that's the concern, though.
That's where
exactly.
it's going.
Exactly.
And we are going to talk about that a little bit later in the show, I think, how it's really bringing about the opposite results of what they purport to be for. Because it's really taking us backwards, not forwards. Because by default, it ends up segregated if they were to get everything that they wanted.
And that's because the individual is forgotten about, and now we're just putting labels based on a collectivist bias.
Yes, mm-hmm. exactly.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Oh, boy. Well, I briefly mentioned earlier that it received the attention of President Trump. And in fact, he initially banned CRT in federal agencies and then expanded the ban to the military, government contractors and grantees. This is where things got muddied. Despite the extensive ban on CRT, is critical race theory training still taking place in schools?
Yes, it is.
Wow.
100% so. One thing that bothers me about President Trump, I wish he would not have tried to ban CRT.
Mm.
The reason why I say this, it's like when we were teenagers and your parents took away something
mm-hmm.
or you put a censor sticker on an album.
Yeah.
You want to listen to it.
All the more.
All the more.
Right.
So
mm-hmm.
when I heard President Trump say he was, I was like, no, because sadly to say, this is the same president who had a hard time denouncing white supremacists.
Mm-hmm.
So critical race theorists are like, yes, this is exactly what we're talking about. I just wish somebody else would have said.
So you feel like
it fed into support of
critical race theory.
Did.
It had the opposite effect of what he was attempting to do.
Exactly.
Interesting. Now, I can see that point. You wonder, though, are they still doing the training then in those military places? Did it truly happen that they're not getting critical race theory anymore?
I have no idea.
Yeah.
It's hard to enforce.
Yeah, I suppose.
It's hard to enforce.
Yeah, because it's in individuals.
And,
right?
And I think it might be helpful not to ban it, but to give people knowledge. This is something
right.
that's being taught and compare it to Dr. King's message
right.
and have people make their own decision.
Yes.
Right.
I was talking to Mark earlier. I think there are many people who've never heard of critical race theory or what they really want.
Mm-hmm.
It sounds great,
mm-hmm.
you know, but what's the end game?
Right.
You
know, right.
So it's kind of flown under the radar. I mean, I hadn't heard about it until, you know, just really a couple of weeks ago when the president did make that announcement. But, you know, this is something you had written about extensively back in 2015
yes.
in an editorial piece. And we'll go ahead and just even talk about how it really began to take root even earlier in the decade. In fact, it's interesting to note that back in 2011, then St. Paul Mayor Chris Coleman oversaw CRT's implementation in the city and in St. Paul public schools. Having taught in the St. Paul Public School District, Aaron, describe for our listeners the specifics concerning the changes that came as a result of CRT's implementation in the school district.
So almost overnight, we tried to lower the suspensions of our African-American students without informing our teachers.
Mm-hmm.
So St. Paul, then Mayor Chris Coleman, makes a deal with the city of St. Paul, and we're going to lower our suspensions. It's going to look great on paper. And actually, grant money was connected to all of this.
Mm.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
So almost overnight, if you're a teacher and you write a referral and the perpetrator was an African-American student, you would be questioned nonstop, where basically the referral wasn't even given to your administrator because you were made to feel like you did something wrong. I'm talking about if you witnessed a violent fight.
Right. Mm.
So you'd be asked, Mr. Benner, did you trigger something for this student to assault this other student? I'm like,
oh, my goodness.
I'm like, no, I didn't trigger anything. I'm the playground supervisor, and I saw a boy go over and punch another boy. It was just chaos. It was just ridiculous.
Yeah.
So then you would ask, you hear questions in staff meetings. We have to find the root causes. To make a long story short, it was a bunch of baloney.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
The suspensions went down drastically. St. Paul bragged about their great schools. But in reality, violence was throughout the entire district.
Right.
Hmm.
I blame former Mayor Chris Coleman for this.
Mm-hmm.
He has a brother, Norm. Yeah, it's Chris Coleman.
Right.
Mm-hmm. I always get them confused. He was a senator. So Chris Coleman was the mayor and Norm was the senator. But Chris Coleman, I blame him. And here's the reason why I blame him. When Valera Silva was the superintendent and she was taking a lot of heat, even when she was fired, Chris Coleman had the audacity to have a day in her honor on November 29th, 2016, Valera Silva Day.
What?
Wow.
You can Google it. So your superintendent, you've been quiet during all this chaos with low test scores and your other minorities leaving for other districts. Chris Coleman never said a peep about the chaos in St. Paul schools because he was in on it with Valera Silva. If you go to the PEG website, you'll see a testimonial from former mayor Chris Coleman and how he has brought PEG to every aspect of St. Paul law and government. Take PEG, and that's the CRT, that's critical race theory.
Mm-hmm.
Problems we now have in St. Paul, and the problems, I mean, we have violence. We have the now mayor, Mayor Carter, he seems to be anti-police. It appears that way. You know, he doesn't want a spot shotter, I think it's called. I could be wrong. He doesn't want to have more police on the force. That's all CRT.
And I think he's a son of a police officer, isn't he?
He definitely is. You know why I know that? Because my father was a police officer. My father worked with his father, which it's a little mind-boggling. But it's not like this came out of nowhere. This is all Chris Coleman. This is all about bringing this to St. Paul. And if you look at the crime in St. Paul now, you will read about suspects who are being let out, not even on probation. They're not even being charged for a rape here, a shooting here. And you read in the paper like this guy had another charge 2 months ago. That's critical race theory right there.
Hmm.
And it's not helping our city at all. It's not helping our city at all. It's chaos.
And what's especially surprising about that is that St. Paul actually did a really good job in terms of squashing the violence as a result of the George Floyd situation.
They did an excellent job. And I give that credit to Chief Axtell.
Okay. Mm.
He's, and Chief Axtell and the mayor, they've been at odds. Trust me.
Oh, yeah,
they really have. That's what I'm hearing. That's what I'm seeing when you read the stories in the paper, when you see press conferences. Their messages don't seem to connect, but I am a huge fan of Chief Axtell, and I wish him the best.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Good for you. It's really interesting to hear how these are ramifications of theories. You know,
yes.
Sometimes people think, oh, it's a theory. What does it really mean? But these are true devastating ramifications in schools, in our cities.
Untested, not proven.
Untested, not proven. Yeah. Exactly.
I want to add one more thing about St. Paul. So in the Pioneer Press, if there's a violent crime, it's almost a joke now if you read the comments after a story about violent crime in St. Paul. You'll get every detail about the incident except the suspect's identification. The suspect had a green jacket. He robbed a green Tahoe, blah, blah, blah. And you're like, okay, what was the race? But critical race theory, we don't want to mention the race. And that does not help anybody.
No.
That does not help anybody.
Because you don't even know who you're looking for then at that point.
This is what's dangerous, though. Yeah. People are going to start to catch on, and then they're going to bring a bias to say the person's black.
Yeah. Oh, you should see the comments. Yeah. It's already caught on. You're like, oh, since we didn't get the race of the slut, you know, and the comments are, some of the comments are very, very hateful and racist.
Sure.
But that's what happens when you're not being
transparent.
And you're not being a pure journalist.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and it's just ridiculous. We've gone so far. You know, in one direction.
It's like the very thing that they're saying that they're wanting to prevent is actually the thing they're promoting hope happens.
Yeah. Exactly.
Yep.
It's just ridiculous.
Yeah.
And I don't know if the Pioneer, I don't know if the Pioneer Press is behind this. I think they've been told by the city of St. Paul, we're not going to mention the race. I could be wrong, but I know if someone gives a report to the police and the police give it to the Pioneer Press, I think the Pioneer Press is like, we're not going to do that. And I know the University of Minnesota frowns upon given the race of a suspect, any crime on the University of Minnesota campus, which is ridiculous, which is totally suspect was running down with Nike tennis shoes, red Nike tennis shoes, had a fluorescent hat on, but okay, who was?
Yeah, right.
Right.
What? This does not help us find
this.
He
hasn't changed his clothes at all.
Right.
No.
Nobody would think to do that.
And that's not helping at all. Interesting.
Oh, boy. Well, as a former teacher in the St. Paul Public School District, your primary concerns involved how the district was going about trying to close the achievement gap and how they were handling accountability for the behavior of the students. And the district hired a San Francisco-based consulting firm, Pacific Education Group, which we've been talking about here, to provide the district direction on how to close the achievement gap. When you were teaching in the St. Paul Public School District, what was the narrative pushed by PEG in the district behind the poor behavior of the students and their low test scores? We talked about this briefly, but maybe you can elaborate a little bit more.
The narrative pushed by PEG was simply this. Low test scores could be blamed on white teachers. Mm-hmm. Simply put, you have too many white teachers, and they're with their biases, they do not understand kids of color. Mm-hmm. Now, your listeners might think I'm making this up. This is hyperbole. No, this is the honest to goodness truth.
Right.
You just keep on hammering white teachers. You don't know what you're doing. You don't understand the kids, blah, blah, which is interesting. So if you have a classroom with a white teacher and you have six black kids who have high test scores or who are doing well, and you have other kids who are failing. So has anybody talked to the six kids who are doing well
right.
with the same white teacher?
Right.
How about the many black kids who come out of St. Paul, and there are a lot of them, who do really well with these white teachers
right.
in these racist institutions? You have to tap them and ask them, what did you do to survive?
Mm-hmm.
We might get some answers.
Right, mm-hmm. right.
We might get some solutions.
Yeah.
You know, and I'm not saying every teacher is great, mm-hmm. but just to simply say the kids weren't doing well and their behavior was poor on white teachers and their privilege is unremarkable, unethical, and wrong.
Well, it seems like a cop-out, to be honest with you.
It's an excuse.
Yeah.
I wrote about that in my editorial. It's, mm-hmm. it's an excuse.
Mm-hmm. So that they can wash their hands of the low test scores and say, we're done. We're yes. done trying. We're just going to blame it on white teachers.
And I want to say I worked with plenty of white teachers who gave me great teaching strategies, and I wish I had time to name them all because I learned a lot from them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah,
so just to revisit a point we made earlier, I mean, all these quote-unquote accomplishments in the area of student discipline or even on test scores, it's propaganda on paper. That's
yes.
really all it is.
Propaganda. Mm-hmm. And speaking of discipline, if you're a teacher and you're writing a referral because a student's chewing gum, you shouldn't be a teacher.
Right.
Or if a student's rolling their eyes. You know, right. I tell people that all the time. Yeah. And teachers do not suspend students. That's one of the fallacies we hear. You have to write a referral and give it to an administrator. But if you're a superintendent and you tell your administrator, I don't want to see so many referrals, and you don't tell your teachers.
Right.
You're going, as a teacher, what am I doing writing this right. up if you're not going to do anything?
Right, mm-hmm. right. So then they're frustrated.
Let me in on what's going on, and we can work mm-hmm. together.
Mm-hmm. Right.
You know, right. I get excited talking about this stuff.
Yes, understandably so.
Well, we've got about a minute here just to wrap up for this weekend, but I just want to ask again, as an educator, have you personally had to take part in critical race training? And if so, how would you describe most of the diversity and anti-racism training that's conducted today?
So I never took an official critical race theory. However, I took all the PEG courses, and that's critical mm-hmm. race theory.
Sure.
Yes, I have.
Okay. Right, right.
You know? So, yes, and you can do diversity training without making people feel like crap.
Right. Mm-hmm.
You can do diversity training without making your teaching staff feel guilty for being white
right.
or any other color.
Right.
It's great. I want to learn. Mm-hmm. I taught at Community Peace Academy, and we have a large Hmong population. I didn't know anything about the Hmong culture. I learned from my students. I learned from other educators. But no one made me feel like I was a terrible person because I wasn't Hmong,
mm-hmm.
you know,
mm-hmm.
so it's interesting. It really is.
Mm-hmm. And that is what's interesting because it seems to only be applied to one race.
Exactly.
We call it critical race theory, but it's really, as you mentioned before we went on air, it's really just about one race, and
yes.
that's the African-American race. Yeah. Well, Aaron, as always, it's so amazing to have you on and to get your insights. We appreciate you so much. And
thank you for having me come back.
It's always a pleasure, Aaron.
We look forward to having you again next week. And for our listeners, I hope you will go to our ednationmn.org and check out this podcast and the earlier ones with Aaron from a year ago. And Mark, thank you so much, as always.
Always a pleasure. Good to see
you
again.
And to our listeners, we will enjoy looking forward to seeing you next Saturday night at AM 1280 The Patriot, 6 p.m. Education Nation. Join us.
Looks like you need a vacation. Enter the 5-Hour Energy Where Will the Tide Take You sweepstakes. You could win a $10,000 dream beach vacation. Imagine jet setting off to a tropical paradise, having fun in the sun, or diving at a gorgeous reef. It's up to you. No purchase necessary. Go to 5hetide.com for official rules and to enter. That's 5hetide.com. Enter today. Ends June 30th, 2024.